People often say, history's boring. And I say, slow down. Pull your head out. Think a bit. History is a fundamental building block of civilization. And it's the way we describe our civilizations and the human condition within it. It can be so many different things, just as humans are so many different things. And so it can be fun, and it can be depressing. It can be funny, and it can be boring and dry. It can be many things, and often, whether you enjoy history or not is dependent on those telling the stories, the historians, those presenters of the past. And we think we can take you down the right road. Straight out of Boise, Idaho, we are the Highway to History Podcast. Join us. Thank you to the Trendy Dads out of San Francisco, California, for that wonderful cover of the B-52's Private Idaho. And here we come back at you with part two of our Unidentified Flying Objects episode and government investigations. And so we pick it back up where Tim was last week, talking about weird things and aliens. And we're even throwing some Blink-182 here. Who knew? Thanks for listening.
So how do we know about the Tic Tac incident, right?
The Tic Tac incident are leaked. They're leaked out by a couple people from the government. And they're leaked out to Tom DeLonge of Blink-182.
What?
Okay. This is where this... I think
Devo would make more sense, you know?
Here's the reason, right? Is that, of course, if you listen to Blink-182, there's Tom DeLonge, there's songs about aliens.
Yeah.
He's been obsessed with aliens like his whole life. You know, he's made a bunch of money and he's a public figure. And so he starts a foundation, which to this day, I still do not understand what it actually does, but it's called the To the Stars Academy, Arts and Science Academy. And it's supposed to be music and art and video. I've never seen anything other than these videos. So he's contacted by Lou Elizondo and some other people who are actually Aero members, right? Who are part of the Aerospace Anomaly Research Organization, Aero. Or AT, he's an ATIP, which is advanced from,
there's a lot of acronyms.
You're fine. But ATIP and Aero, right? That's the two. But, and he's the one who got those three videos first. And so when you watch them online, it'll say, To the Stars Academy when it pops up because they're the first ones to publish it.
Okay.
So, and he does a big press conference. One of the worst public speakers. I love his music. I think he's great. One of arguably the worst public speaker I've ever heard in my life.
Which one is he? The main singer?
No, that he's the bassist.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right?
That's interesting. I have no idea, actually.
I only got the...
No, let me do this. Well, I can tell you by voice. Where are you, that guy?
Yeah. One thing.
So, but that had come out 2 years early, right? But the Navy, nobody, like, they look official and everything like that, but nobody from the government had come out and officially said that they were real and they were unaltered.
Mm.
So, back to, so that's 2017, 2019, same day as the raid. The Department of Defense and the Department of Navy, Department of Defense led by the Department of the Navy, who were originally the ones who filmed that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ownership of them. They do a press conference that say, A, yes, those videos are real. B, they have been unaltered. And C, we have no idea what they are.
Hmm.
Now, the question that I pose is it a coincidence that the raid at Area 51 happened? You know, this joke, and them deciding to announce it on that day as a coincidence, or was there something else there?
What do you think reason would be to do that at the same
time. Right. It would be the opposite you would want to do. Maybe.
Well, I would argue this. Is that, and even in this new UAP hearing in 2024, they said, you know, one of the questions that the senators asked, why is it the military, why isn't the DOD being, or the government, especially the DOD, being more transparent about this?
Yeah.
And they said, because the DOD doesn't want to look stupid. It doesn't want to say it doesn't know.
Doesn't know shit.
It doesn't, because that's their whole job. You spend $900 billion a year. It's the reason that our health insurance has DLC to it for our eyes and our teeth. Is the reason we have this. And we give you all that motherfucking money and you can't tell us what this is.
This national security threat.
And because they look stupid, right? Or vulnerable. And that's not the point. So the thing is it's not, you know, I think it's too much credit that it's the PSYOP. That they did this. It's just simply they were like, hey, listen, on the 19th of September is this raid. When people look at the news, they are going to be laughing at all these fools.
Mm.
Right? And they were.
Mm.
So what's the best time to let everybody know, hey, we don't know what those are, is that day. Because if somebody reads the headlines and they say aliens, if they see aliens in the news, they're going to be like, oh, it's those fools.
Yeah.
Not, oh, by the way, yeah, those are real. We don't know what the fuck they are.
Oh, right. Interesting. So the Area 51 raid takes precedent in the news and sort of people's mind of like what's going on with aliens. And they're just like, let's just slip that in at the same time.
People have been conditioned to believe that, to think that Area 51, you know, that aliens, it's a foolish endeavor, right? That it's for gullible or conspiracy theorists. And so that's gonna be a much more palatable thing for somebody to understand.
Yeah.
Versus the other. And I always find that so wildly interesting that for one, the government's come out and said that, right? And that they happen to do that on the same day.
That is unbelievable.
You know the aliens I want to know about?
Huh.
The stupid ones. We always look at, oh, they're smart, they fly interstellar. I would like it if we could fly to them and see dumb aliens. You know, like that's just... Like, we always assume, like, the ones that come here are super, super intelligent because they developed this technology we now have. But I want to know more, like these dumb motherfuckers that live on, like...
It could be, like, some planet out there where they're still living in the Stone Age or still living in...
Right.
Well, I always appreciate that about Star Trek, especially the original Star Trek with the Prime Directive.
Oh, good.
Because they would run into societies that weren't... And then they wouldn't contact them because it would mess with their development. The Prime Directive.
You know, in reality, they'd exploit their resources.
If it was humans.
Unfortunately, Star Trek is the vision that I wished the future had been.
Right.
It turns out humans are fucking stupid.
The other thing I want to know is if these really smart aliens, you know, come here, and then they, you know, beam us up into their ships or whatever we say happens. You know, we haven't talked about that. But why do they always, you know, there's various options for orifices. I'm not sure how you pluralize that.
Orify, I believe. But I don't know.
Why do they always go through the ass? These are the serious questions they're not bringing up.
In abductions, you're saying?
Yeah. It's like, they jammed their tentacles up my butt.
On a real, you know? I don't know what you're saying. You know, I'm curious what you think of abduction stories and stuff like that. I mean, is there any legacy to that? Or is there any we don't know? Or
it's, when it comes to this whole, the whole way of looking at it, it is like, because it's really, really, very difficult, right, to like wrap your head around even just the history of like what are the programs, what are the events, how are, you know, sociologically. When it comes to the abductions, I'm less knowledgeable. I mean, I know of them, right? The Travis Watson incident is probably one of the biggest ones, which the movie Fire in the Sky is based off of.
Right, I was so
one of the scariest movies. God, that one has some credible aspects to it. The Benny and Barney Hill case has some pretty
Do you think has the government not disclosed or talked anything about abductions or anything like that?
No. When it comes to the hearings, it's much more about like crash retrieval, sightings and reports and stuff like that. So they don't really talk about that very much.
Okay.
I will say an interesting thing though, that like murkies all of this too, like is what happens in the 1980s around the development of stealth technology. So, The F-117 Nighthawk, which isn't unveiled until later in the 1990s, is that it's a lot of, some of the testing was done in and not just Area 51, it was also done in New Mexico.
Okay.
Air Force Base, New Mexico. And
Roswell, New Mexico.
No. No, no, closer to Albuquerque.
Okay.
Which is where I'm from, actually.
Cool.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad.
Huh?
Breaking Bad.
Absolutely. No, what's interesting is that, so they're testing it, and there's a guy who's kind of a UFO enthusiast, right? This businessman named Benowitz. And he starts, like, seeing them and, like talking about them in UFO fields. And the government, the U.S. government and the Air Force get really nervous because of legit. Like, we can't, like, we need to keep the secret.
Right.
So what they do is they go to him as a insider, and they give him a mix of real evidence of UAPs,
fake,
and also fake evidence.
As you feel like they do that a lot, probably.
And so what they do, and they hype him up.
Okay.
It's a smoking man.
So he goes into, they basically are like, he has his own smoking man, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
And so he goes into the UAP community, right? Because there's UFON and MUFON. There's two separate ones. They don't like each other. It's very confusing, right? That's a whole other ballgame. But and so he starts talking about this, and some of the stuff is really credible, and some of the stuff is absolute bullshit.
Huh.
And what they're able to do is they lean more on the aliens thing versus like government technology thing in order to create a smokescreen for what's actually happening. And what happens is that he feels that he has the actual straight dope. He actually finally has the evidence.
Wow, wow.
Because it is a government insider that's doing it. But they end up just completely ruining his life, like obliterating his life, and then also making a mockery and a fool out of him at the end, right? Totally obliterate his life. And also create this idea that it's this world that you can never get your hands around. Is this all some gigantic version of that now?
I'm wondering, like, what are you, like, I don't trust these people coming out, and they almost sound sometimes like mouthpieces at this hearing, like how some of them are saying, you know, they'll say something, but they'll be like, I can't discuss that. I have to discuss that in a closed.
And it's,
and it's like, okay, well, if you're being told what you can and can't say, then how is this even a legitimate testimony or a legitimate hearing? You know what I mean? Like, you're kind of almost being told, like, okay, here's what you tell them at the testimony. Here's what you don't tell them. That's kind of suspicious in itself, right? Like,
oh, no, I get you. That has
Kamala Harris on Joe Rogan.
Yeah. You censor yourself.
Hello, friends and listeners. I'd like to thank our sponsors, the Avery Hotel and Brasserie. Located in the heart of downtown is Boise's only historic boutique hotel, meticulously renovated by renowned chef Cal Elliott. The property boasts two unique restaurants, both anchored by 100-plus-year-old Brunswick bars. The Avery Brasserie, with a diverse French-inspired menu, and Tyner's Alley, with a dark and moody English pub vibe with scotch eggs and free pool. I've eaten at both, and let me tell you, they scrumptious. With beautiful soaking tub and balcony rooms and suites overlooking the historic gem block on 10th and Main Streets, you can find modern elevated comfort and rich history perfect for visiting guests, staycations, and special occasions. And let me tell you, I've gotten my relaxation on in these rooms. Oh, soaking tubs, soaking my feet, eating some treats and drinking some cocktails. And it's historic, baby. Lots of crazy stuff happened in this hotel since its construction back in 1910. Find out more about the Avery at theaveryboise.com. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Funky Soul Coffee. That's soul with an S-O-L. It's the brainchild of Michelle Russell and Gavin Butler. These two had a dream, and that was to turn a 1976 Airstream camper into a coffee shop. A 70s-themed coffee shop. And they've succeeded. Michelle Russell has years and years of experience in the coffee industry, and she's come up with some truly delicious 70s-themed concoctions. I've had the privilege of tasting a few of them. You can reach them at 208-447-9044. You can email them at hello@funkysoul.com. And you can find it on Instagram or at www.funkysoulcoffee.com. Give them a try.
No, that's one of the hard parts. That has to do with classifications and the punishment for revealing U.S. secrets.
Ooh.
So what they're telling the Congress is everything that they can tell them in public without being arrested. And that's why it always seems so cagey.
Sure.
But I would say that a lot of them, I mean, that's the hard part with these UAP hearings, right? I want it to be like every time one comes around, like it, I don't give a shit about sports, right? That is my Super Bowl where I'm like, oh, I take work off. Like, I don't, and I just say.
So you're probably a little disappointed at the end of the hearing.
I'm always like, this is going to be it, right? Huh? This is going to be it. You know, and finally, but it, I will say they move the ball down the line, right? These are a big deal because these have never happened before. These are a big deal because the congressmen, the representatives are mad because they are like, if they are to be believed, that means there are entities outside of the government, like extra congressional.
Mm-hmm.
That gets to say what we can know and not know.
Well, of course there are.
But no, think about it this way. That's
the CIA.
That's not how the government's supposed to work.
But we've had the CIA. We're not even talking about aliens. We're talking about assassination. Mm-hmm. I mean, shit, Frank Church here.
No,
like, we're talking about
shit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, isn't the CIA a private agency, right? Isn't the CIA is like a contractor with the government, right? It's not an actual...
No, it's an agency. It's an agency. It's created under the 1947 Defense Department bill.
Oh, okay.
They don't have as much government oversight as they should.
They should. Well, and that's what the Church and Pike committees were all about, right? The Church and Pike committees and the Rockefeller committee were all about, and they were basically being able to go, J. Edgar Hoover was running the FBI like his own personal fiefdom.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that's all COINTELPRO and all that stuff.
Right.
And then the CIA was fucking doing whatever it wanted. You know, in the name of protection, going for all the way from MK Ultra to all—I mean, everything else—and that, and Mockingbird, and all of those things. And that's what those committees were basically saying: "Hey, listen, you can't do that shit, right? You have to have some kind of guidelines. You have to have some kind of thing. You can't just go Donkey Kong on this."
So they had to kill Mockingbird.
They did. You know, Mockingbird. You know, Operation Mockingbird. Yes.
I actually just recently read about it. Refresh my memory.
Operation Mockingbird is that the CIA found that it was incredibly, incredibly helpful to put CIA operatives or CIA assets within news organizations on foreign governments. Operation Mockingbird is saying, like, which the CIA is not supposed to, well, the Pike and Church committees make sure that. For them, that they can't operate in the United States or against American citizens. But what Mockingbird exposed, right, in the family jewels, like exposure, was that CIA was doing that with news organizations in that
family jewels.
Because and worse, the family jewels. It's basically all the programs that get uncovered.
I like how the names are like.
I know,
right?
But that's so interesting that, I mean, well, fuck. Now, this is a different conversation, but what are the odds that something like that's happening now? People are so distrustful
of
media. Like, people are so distrustful of mainstream media, yet you don't think, you know, maybe that the intelligence agencies are feeding them information and things like that even now?
I think that's that's a much probably larger conversation, a lot harder one in general. What I would say is that is it possible? Absolutely.
Sure.
Would it be advantageous? Have they done it before? Yes. I use this example when it comes to that. The point of MKUltra, right, was to destroy human free will. At the end of the day, that's what it was. Because people think about it, the idea that it was truth serums.
Yeah.
Well, what's a truth serum? A truth serum is, I don't want to tell you this, so I'm going to give you something, or I'm going to keep you up, or I'm going to torture you, or whatever, that your will no longer matters. My will is your will. Breaking of human free will. That's what MKUltra is. They just do it in every conceivable fucked up way for 20 years and find out it doesn't work.
Well, I mean, sodium pentothal or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
That I read about that and actually related to a case, a ghost story at the old Penn here in Boise. But they gave this guy a truth serum about a murder that he said he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he saw this guy's ghost in his cell, and so he wanted to, you know, tell the truth. They gave him 3 doses of this over a week period, of like 1 a week for 3 weeks or whatever.
Wow.
And his story never changed. And they said the way they describe it is it almost gets you in a state of drunkenness.
Mm-hmm.
And like where you're more honest, but maybe it's a...
That's so unethical in every
right. Well, he said he'd take it. Like it was willing for him.
Well, yeah. Even if we don't even look at it from it like a true serum, like the free will part, true serum is like an example because that was one of the things they wanted. But the other one was to create like Manchurian Candidate super soldiers.
Yeah.
Or super spies, really, not super soldiers.
That's fucking North Koreans, man.
And the idea is like, you know, I can get you, I can do these treatments to you, and you're going to go do what I want you to do when I trigger you to do it, even though you don't want to do it. Yeah,
right.
That's where all that stuff comes from, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is that, and the reason I bring that up in regard to your question about, you know, could something like Operation Mockingbird be happening now?
Sure.
You know what would be the ultimate dream of MKUltra?
What?
If it was to get large groups of people to do and say things that you want them to, the internet.
Right.
Not even the internet, even more. Like social media.
Just for likes.
Social media. Well,
good point.
Because the Facebook papers, right? The Facebook papers, when the leaker and the whistleblower came out about Facebook, they basically said Facebook had a rage dial. A dial that, because they get to change the algorithms and can, and I'm using this, I'm sure it's more complex than this, but that's the way he described it, as a rage dial. They know that the name of the game of those of social media is to keep people engaged.
Wow.
One of the best ways to keep people engaged is to get them outraged. And so they could turn up and make, now, are you going to get, you know, London to do exactly what I want? No. But what I can do is, can I get an entire voting block upset? Can I get a tire? You could do regions, you could do genders, you could do, you know, age groups. And
so true.
If you think about it, like, if something external is intentionally trying to affect my mood and potentially my action, there is an argument that it is auguring in on my free will.
Dude, Rupert Murdoch and Fox News, that's what he lives off of. And then reflexively, I think Fox News is the best friend CNN ever had, because then they get to like bounce all that right back off with outrage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And my parents just loved CNN, right?
Yeah.
But then the other, and I'm like, there's a game, there's a strategy here that, you know, is keeping you outraged at what Fox News is saying, and then Fox News is putting this stuff out there about the libtards and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
It just fuels.
No, because there has to be an enemy, right?
We control our own
right.
Biases control us.
It's not linking it back to like this stuff is that's what makes some of this so hard. Is, you know, I think on one side, we can't give the CIA or the government or the NSA or any other alphabet agency too much, like, credit, right? They're not all omnipotent, like, genius, you know, super spy, you know, and I think a lot of people think that, yeah. Right? They watch John Krasinski do CIA, you know, propaganda movies, and like, oh my God, they must be all so badass.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure there's very smart people, but
a lot of them are like accountants.
They're accountants. There's that part.
My also, Jack Ryan is Harrison Ford.
And will always be. Although.
In present danger.
Although, Alec Baldwin was also.
Patriot Games.
He's a good shot.
That was the
first Jack Ryan.
Oh shit! It's the submarine thing.
Uh-huh.
Hunt for Red October. Great movie.
Oh, and Ben Affleck was awesome. But the idea is that it's still a group of people. Large numbers of people are stupid, and doing anything like is like pulling like that's why I always fight against conspiracy theories in general. Is like you're giving people and the government way too much credit.
Mm.
Like they're not. So the government is at one hand really battle most things and can't execute them well.
Right.
But they can do these things perfectly.
Huh.
So even with the CUAP thing, it's like, that's why I go against the idea of like, this cannot be some generationally long plan to confuse us, you know, about some other project they're doing.
Okay.
Right. It's just not how human beings work.
Did you see the 60 Minutes?
Mm-hmm.
And I connect this back to all this that you're saying. I thought that Hanford up in Washington was like, okay, they got it super locked down.
Mm-hmm.
It's all clean and they're like super secure. And then 60 Minutes goes in there, they do this expose. I don't know how they got the access. And it's like leaking from these uranium facilities, storage facilities. I'm just sitting there going, I drive by there all the time. Do you like, this is close.
Oh, you know, okay, to give you an idea, and this will probably scare you. Unfortunately, so sorry.
No,
but okay, they had to do a huge overhaul on missile of Air Force personnel, especially officers who were in charge of nuclear missile silos.
Ooh.
Huge overhaul. Like, huge.
What is that?
Like 5 years ago.
Okay.
And why?
So yeah. Why is this? One is that a missileman is what that's called. And back in the Cold War, that was like a really prestigious commission, right? That is a job in the Air Force. You know, you're the frontline defense. Well, after the Cold War's over, it turns into like the job no one wants because no one gives a shit about it. Right?
I mean, the Titans are right around here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're like one out on the way to a mountain home.
And so these silos, and the silos are like, the upkeep's really bad. A lot of them are still using big, like 80s style floppy disks, all kinds of stuff. But nobody wants the job, and it gets a lot of, I'm sure there's some great missile men out there, but a lot of flunkies in like the bottom of the bucket.
Wow.
So turns out there was they ordered a pizza and they had a propped door.
Nanu.
For the pizza man,
pizza.
The pizza delivery person to come deliver the pizza to a nuclear missile facility. And he just walked in. And then, so like that caused a bunch of alarms, right? Like just in the, not there because it was so unsecured.
Was it the
like,
Domino's Noid?
No. Although there's a hilarious story about a guy about the Noid who was named Noid, who like went on a rampage because he thought all that was directed at him. But that
God, it wasn't fair out of the subway.
But no, what it turned out, he basically blew the whistle on it, like, oh my God, I can't believe Mr. Silo, I could get in there. Turns out they were doing like cheating on all the exams, like all the Air Force personnel of just like, they all have the answer keys, none of them knew anything. And they were also doing the MDMA.
Well, right now that's super relevant.
Just to give you the idea, right?
Crazy.
Just to give you the idea that I'm not saying that all government agencies are like that or every single thing is like that, but to believe that they are this crack team of just ultra professionals who are, you know, the vanguard and the best of us all, they're not. They're human beings. They are lazy. They have blind spots. You know, they can be dumb. I'm sure they can be smart too. And so with some of this stuff, I think that like, I do think the government has gotten a lot of hay on, you know, using the UAP phenomenon and the craze around it to mask things.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
Right? At the same time, I think what people often do is they say, well, you know, my crazy uncle Philip, right? He believes in aliens and thinks they're communicating him through his things. That's all there is for, you know, either if you believe in UFOs, then that's you. And I think people have a hard time, and because of this misinformation, because of the way it's treated, because of all of these ideas, is that when somebody does come out, an Air Force pilot with all of this experience, all of these things, right? Multiple of them, NASA officials, a rear admiral was in the last one, right? Mm-hmm. Like one of the whistleblowers, come out and they
legit people.
They legitimately come out. You know, that is not the same as the other, to me,
right?
In my opinion.
Wow. So that is insane. And so a question like leading off of that I've been wanting to get to is, mm-hmm. and I'm scared to even ask it because mm-hmm. they say that people were saying like you get marked or whatever, is what is Immaculate Constellation that everyone's talking about? Do you know what the Immaculate, I've been hearing that term, mm-hmm. the hearings.
I do.
Immaculate Constellation.
Yeah, actually, like that was one of the people that said that. Some of the two people who said that were the more right-wing conspiratorial senators.
Oh.
Or Congress people, I
should
say.
Sure.
I'm trying to guess their names. How long ago was this?
Last week.
Yeah, that's
2 weeks ago.
Tom Cotton?
No, he wasn't.
I don't know.
No.
Okay.
But no, Immaculate Constellation had been something that had been rumored and talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that has... I will say it wasn't the first time I've ever heard that term,
okay.
that program. It is the first time I've ever heard an official capacity.
Sure.
So sometimes you hear these things versus are they true or not?
And right, hear the government say it.
So government. So in one way, I'd heard it before, but in this way is the first time I've ever heard like a senator say it and then also be responded in the affirmative that it was a thing.
Wow.
So what Immaculate Constellation is? Immaculate Constellation is basically we don't know the length and scope of it, but potentially decades long program that is a gigantic vacuum,
mm-hmm.
metaphorically, right? That is pulling in all UAP evidence.
Oh, wow.
And just basically sucking it up. So everything that comes out, right? is it gets pulled into immaculate collection.
So like funds retrieval programs and stuff like that?
It could be. It's mostly, from what I understand, the way they described it is, so let's say that we're out in the woods drinking beers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Never.
It would never happen.
At all.
And we see just this, not just a light in the sky, but some really like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Right? And we film it. Immaculate Constellation would be interested in that footage.
Huh.
And it what it does, it's trying to gather as much of it and pull it out and classify it at the highest possible level and basically put it behind a lock, but behind.
Is it like an algorithm pulling this, or you're saying these are like people who find
it? It's a program, so it's a staffed program.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a staffed program.
And these people believe in Immaculate Conception, right?
Well, I'm sure.
Immaculate Constellation. But yeah. And so, yeah, that's an interesting one to think about, and one that makes sense. Like when it comes to government programs, sure, they want to make sure that they're the ones that are in possession of all of the UAP.
Same.
Now, I don't know if you've seen the jellyfish.
Yeah, you sent me that.
Did I send you?
Yeah,
to?
And I thought that was weird. Like
a jellyfish.
Think of it.
It
looks like a jellyfish, kind of, or I don't even know, kind of a mm-hmm. jellyfish, kind of a drone mm-hmm. jellyfish.
Yeah,
that's just floating over a, isn't it like a military facility in Iraq or Afghanistan?
Yeah, it's firebase
like that. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. and really weird.
And there's a reason they're all over these military installations.
That's
I mean.
One of the things that they've said is that a lot of the silver balls that NASA said have been seen, they tend to gravitate towards military, either military or war zones or nuclear facilities.
Nuclear facilities, yeah.
The nuclear facility thing has been going on.
That's actually a question I have, is they've been saying that they're disabling nuclear bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, they're peaceful aliens.
Disable nuclear silos and things.
Oh, that would be, that's well, that.
Yeah,
that.
What if they want to prevent World War III from happening?
Well, they can start now.
Yeah, that would be really nice. That is one of the ones that has been the ongoing one, right? That they have been talking about that instance of UFOs, you know, entering American airspace and going to military airbase, like the protected and inaccessible zones that they've been for decades since nuclear and ballistic nuclear missiles have existed, that they have been coming there, disabling them, and then going away.
Huh.
Right? Or temporarily doing it. And it's, what's interesting, too, is that the number of videos, the number of the amount of evidence has been going up.
Mm.
And that's one of the things I talk to my students about, is that this has been something I've been interested in my whole life.
Yeah.
And I can't tell.
Yeah, I know. This has been something I've been interested in, like, forever. And not only is this being talked about in a serious manner like it never has before, there is more evidence than there ever has been before, and there is an increasing amount of evidence coming at a faster and faster and faster and faster pace.
There's something going on.
It's something,
obviously something.
Do you think that's because of like video cameras? Everyone just has like, there's more evidence because everyone's sort of just pulled their phone out and...
Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
It's that. I think it's also the internet.
Yeah.
I also think that even if, like, let's just take Grush for his, like, Grush, when Grush talked, he said, okay, the first time the U.S. ever retrieved a crash was back with the Mussolini deal, right, in Italy. And they have been doing that ever since in a super secret program. That's the nuts and bolts of his whole thing.
Yeah.
That they have non-human biologics, that they have multiple crashes, they're trying to reverse engineer it, right? And the reverse engineering thing, I remember one of the questions you asked early on is, like, do we think that the United States or any other foreign government has reverse engineered it? One of the other reasons that the current whistleblower said that one of the reasons the United States isn't coming out and talking about it is because they know that other adversaries have crashes and they don't want to give away what they have, how far they've gotten with reverse engineering or anything like that.
Kind of calling it like a secret arms
race. How can they reverse engineer it if the materials to make it come from somewhere else?
That's one of the analogy that I would use is, let's say that we took an F-18.
Uh-huh.
And we dropped it back in the Roman Empire. How long would it take them to figure it out?
Oh, man, yeah.
Maybe never. It's potentially maybe never.
Maybe a couple hundred years.
You don't know.
I guess, yeah.
And that's the hard part, is that we have such fragmented information, but it's still continuing to drip in that's there. But the secret arms race would account for a couple things. One is, sometimes people ask, why is it only an American thing? It's not. These sightings are seen everywhere, right?
There's a in China, probably.
One of the most famous incidents is the F-14 pilot from Iran.
Oh.
And that one is that he was sent up to intercept it. And like, it's one of the most well-known instances in like the early 80s.
What happened to him?
God, I want to say he crashed.
Off
the top of my head, I just know that that's what I've read it and I've heard the testimony and all of that before.
So he died.
Unsure. I can't remember. But it's one of the more, if you look up the Iranian F-14 incident.
Do you think that they are a threat and are dangerous? And like, I think that's what's, I guess, again, because now I'm almost asking you, like, do you think they're aliens? Because that's like kind of the question. If they're aliens, mm-hmm. and this is extraterrestrial, do you think they're altruistic somewhere in the middle? Do you think they have bad intentions? Do you have any sort of, is there sort of any evidence or any indication that they're talking about that kind of thing?
I mean, I would say that they, from taking it from all the way back to Project Sign,
yeah,
right, and Grudge, is that are these a threat to our airspace? Like, I don't want to say like a military threat, like Independence Day, '94. The idea is what the whistleblowers are saying are that, and let me back up. There have been multiple commercial airliners that have talked about these things, right?
Oh, right.
There's the Japanese cargo airliner in the 1980s. There's one that just happened a couple months ago over New Mexico. These are not just these two events. These are like apparently lots of events. And if these things are flying around in our airspace, regardless of what they are a danger.
Sure.
Because they could crash an airliner on, you know, in that way. So in that respect, if you go off what the whistleblowers are saying, and even what the outline of all the other projects have been, are there are things in the sky that we don't know. And if they are, since they are there, they are inherently making the skies more dangerous.
Sure.
At the minimum. It's hard to project on what the motivations of something we do not understand or even know what it is are without projecting our own anxieties upon
them.
Good point. So that's really hard to do.
Well, if they were humans, they would be run the gamut of their intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if they're somehow evolved.
Non-human biologics, right?
Right.
Isn't that kind of what they are? So we
don't know. And so I would say this. I think they pose a bigger threat. Off the adage that, yes, they're real. You know, their technology is real. It's something that's crashed, that's been retrieved, that's non-human, that is being reverse engineered. The biggest danger they pose is not necessarily them, but whatever anybody human could figure out to do to kill each other with.
It's really good.
Because they've had ample opportunity to just blast us apart.
Absolutely.
If they wanted to, if that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah. Well, and I think about it too, like this, like there's only the difference between brain capacity and mental capacity between a chimpanzee and a human being is only like 2 or 3%.
Right.
Chimpanzees are only 2 or 3% less.
And yet they play with their own shit.
Well, and how
some
do we
humans.
And
right. Two girls in a cup.
Hey, scatological kinks. Whatever you want to do.
There was a great video of Kermit the Frog watching two girls in a cup with a tissue, and then Miss Piggy catches him, and she's like, "Kermit!" And Kermit's like, "Oh, little Miss Piggy." Don't cut that out.
We think about it, but how do we look at chimpanzees, right? As test subjects, as the idea of them having rights, or even, I mean, we do horrific things, mm-hmm. right? Because we just don't see them as equals. If it is an intelligence, right, that is comparable to humans in some way, they're going to probably, if they can travel the unbelievable, unvast number of the distance and all that, it's very possible they're 2 to 3% more intelligent than we are.
Yeah.
So we would appear to them as chimpanzees if we go off that adage, right?
So,
and we better hope they're nothing like human beings, because they would treat, if we got treated like
we're test subjects, then, right. Essentially, right? And that's almost kind of goes into some of the abduction stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're valid or not,
right.
That they feel like they're poked, prod, tested, and studied. So,
and
yeah.
The only thing I'd say about like the abduction things is that it's such a phenomenon that has happened for so long, you don't hear about them very much anymore.
Mm.
I mean, in the circles that I try to keep up on, you almost never hear about them.
Mm.
But whatever did happen to like the Travis Walton incident or the Betty and Barney Hill, when you listen to them and hear them talk, like it. I don't think everybody is lying. I don't think you shouldn't be like skeptical or that, but like, you know, you're talking to these people that are crying about this, these terrible, horrific, like traumatic events to them. And it's like,
they're either amazing actors.
They're either
like
amazing
Leonardo
actors.
DiCaprio.
Yeah. Well, I will say there is one like, you know, fourth level, you know, one event where there is actual contact that I do think is unbelievably interesting, and it's called the
school incident.
Attention book lovers, if you're looking for more empowering literature, welcome to The Lit Room, a beloved feminist bookstore in Garden City, Idaho. They specialize in women's literature, indie and small press gems, and a fantastic selection of works from local authors. The wonderful owners, Chelsea and Megan, are passionate about fostering a welcoming space for all readers. But that's not all. The Lit Room is expanding with a brand new book bar. Imagine sipping on a delicious beer, surrounded by shelves of captivating reads, all while unwinding in a cozy atmosphere. Visit them at 215 East 34th Street, Garden City, Idaho, and discover your next favorite book. Don't forget to follow them on Instagram at This Room Is Lit for updates, events, and more. Support local, celebrate women, and find your next read at The Lit Room. Hey there, listeners. Let me introduce you to Idaho Express Detail. Established in 2018, this local gem in Boise has been transforming vehicles and leaving them sparkling clean ever since. With a stellar 5-star rating, you know you're getting top-notch service every time. Whether you're in need of a quick wash or a full detailing service, their expert team has got you covered. Located at 515 South Vista Avenue, they're just a hop away from giving your ride the makeover it deserves. And don't forget to follow Idaho Express Detail on Instagram for amazing before and after shots and special promotions. So why wait? Treat your car to the best. Swing by Idaho Express Detail today and see the difference for yourself. Do you struggle with sleep, stress, or mental fatigue? Discover the power of Sarasate, a revolutionary, non-invasive neurotechnology that helps your brain rebalance and reset itself naturally. At Sarasate, they use advanced brain technology to support your brain's own ability to relax, reset, and restore. Their safe, proven approach has helped thousands improve their sleep, reduce stress, and enhance overall well-being. Imagine waking up refreshed with a clear mind and renewed energy. That's the difference Sarasate can make. Whether you're dealing with insomnia, PTSD, or just everyday stress, their personalized sessions can help you find the peace and balance you deserve. Visit Sarasate.com, that's Ceresete.com today, to learn more and schedule your free consultation. You can also reach them at 208-779-1040. Discover the natural way to a healthier, more balanced you.
Zimbabwe? Rua, Zimbabwe.
What year?
1994. September 16th, 1994. 62 pupils of the Ariel School, aged between 6 and 12, saw what they... said what they saw was a craft descended from the sky and land on a field near their school.
And the teacher saw it.
The teacher saw it, and it was almost like the adults couldn't see it, but all the kids draw the same pictures.
But they said the children claimed that one creature or more creatures dressed in all black approached and telepathically communicated to them a message with an environmental theme, frightening them and causing them to cry.
But, do you know if
you're killing your world?
Kids keep with this story even into their adulthood, like all of them, or did any of them come out and say?
I that's one of those ones that I like because I really do focus on the more physical part than the abduction. But you know one thing that because we can cut that out because
that's great. Awesome.
Yeah. Now one of the things with I do want to bring up and then
here are the drawings,
the Vegas lights.
Yeah.
The Vegas Lights event is one of the most interesting events, right? Because the Vegas Lights happened the Phoenix Lights in 1997. Who was the main actor in Big Trouble in Little China?
Oh, Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell's the first person to see it.
No shit, that makes sense.
To see the Phoenix Lights?
Yeah.
What?
I love that.
So the Phoenix Lights had been seen... like, if you want to believe all the testimony, had been seen over a number of states, right? This V.
Uh-huh.
But really, when we talk about the Phoenix Light, we talk about the mass sightings, right? Because it's like the DC flap. It's a mass sighting.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight. There's video of it. It's this big V. And when it is first reported, Kurt Russell is who is a pilot. He has his private pilot's license.
He drives in a flying truck.
No, he was flying his son to a date.
Oh, what a cool Kurt Russell's Wyatt dropping Russell, you off one of the days.
Yeah. Who's an actor now too, actually.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's a really good actor.
What? So,
okay. He's married to Kate Hudson.
No,
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know if he has multiple kids. If it
Isn't
was
she related to Goldie Hawn?
I have no clue.
She is.
And Kurt Russell dated Goldie Hawn for a long time.
That is crazy. If that's a weird connection.
So wait, didn't he have kids with
I might need to dive into this. I'm unsure of the dating history of
him. Oh, that's some CIA classified shit, right?
No, there. But he's the one that calls it in that says, hey, there's something up here.
Oh my God.
Which is just an interesting fact, right? The thing with that mass sighting is that it happens and it's a huge deal. All of Phoenix sees it. And the next day, the mayor of Phoenix comes out in a very kind of shitty way. And he's like, hey, you know what? I know what everybody saw. We have the culprit right here. And a guy comes out in an alien costume and everybody laughs.
Liar.
And it's really demeaning because... And what they say is, oh, what it was is there's a nearby Air Force base. They're flying, A-10 Thunderbolts, and they dropped...
A-10s are slow, though.
No. That they had dropped flares.
Oh.
And that these were slow-moving flares. But the thing is that their flares don't work like that, right?
Yeah.
Flares do go down really slow. That's what the idea of flares are. They're very bright. But they don't... They aren't in a V like that.
I think everyone would be able to tell if they were...
Right. And everybody laughs it off in this way. But what's interesting is that everybody involved in that press conference deeply regrets that press conference.
Really?
Because they all believe then and now that it was more than it was, that it was something.
I feel stupid, especially now.
Yeah. And you can see there, and it was kind of like Pollock. So we can't, it goes back to the idea. If you take UAP seriously, right? Everybody thinks you're a crackpot.
Yeah.
Even though you can look at all this stuff and say, I don't know if it's aliens, but what is it then?
People are going to think we're crazy pants on here for sure.
I know that's.
I don't give a fuck. It's fine.
I think it's. I mean, I get it. There's that tinfoil hat association, but I think that is dying out more and more. I mean, you can't have government hearings about it, congressional hearings about it, and be like, you're all crazy.
There's some evidence. I'm not saying it's aliens. Yeah. I don't know what it is, obviously.
It seems to be out of the bounds of science that we understand. Publicly understand it.
You know who I thought had the best answer to it? Because the non-human biologics part came up with the Grush testimony, right? The Grush whistleblower. And that testimony was, hey, he doesn't call them aliens, non-human biologics, right? That, that whole idea.
Yeah.
The last question in the 2024 hearing was they asked, all three contestants. It's not the Price is Right.
Mr. Nanu Nanu.
But was Mr. Gold, which sounds like a spy name, but it's from NASA. And when asked, because some of them were like, "Hey, well, the first one, the rear admiral's like, hey, well, the universe is so vast, it would be foolish to think that we're the only one, right?" Another one was like, oh, well, if it's reacting to stimuli and doing things okay, then that's what that means. That's what Lou's answer was. The next guy is like, well, I don't know. And the last one from NASA said, whatever it is not what we believe it to be. And when we find out what it really is, it's going to be beyond the scope of what we can imagine.
Mm.
And that was the thing. That's how it ended. And I was like, holy shit.
What if it came down and it was it was like Jar Jar Binks.
Me so much.
Like what you just said, though.
Right.
We have a... our minds have been trained through Hollywood and through popular culture to envision what we think an alien presence will be, or what that whatever first contact will be.
Uh-huh.
Little green Martians, little Jar Jar Binks, whatever. But kind of the things you're saying Grush is saying or whatever, makes me think that consciousness is way more complicated than we can even it might not even be a physical form in the way that
our time, because if they can travel
or dimensional,
yeah,
that's and I think that's the hard part too with disclosure. Well, and let me ask both of you this, and then okay, let's say they do another hearing and they do it in 2 weeks.
like, or whatever, it doesn't matter, right? They say, okay, they do disclosure. Whatever power, whatever entity that is, it's disclosure. Doesn't necessarily matter what if it's aliens or interdimensional, but they come out and say, yes, it's real. It's you fill in the blank.
Thing, yeah.
What do you think society does next? What do you think the average person upon that is? Just in your own personal...
I almost want to say that I think people are going to be like, not even believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think some people will obviously freak the fuck out. I think mm-hmm. religious people will freak out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think, but I am curious to think what you guys think, but I think people are just so numb to like everything in the world now that I don't even know that people would react the way they would.
Well, it would have to be pretty
years ago.
Pretty direct evidence.
Sure.
Yeah, like if they really
it's
had like,
definitive.
Here's the picture, it's true.
But with AI now?
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
almost like we need to.
Or it was video, or what? Just like, don't worry about what the evidence is.
No,
let's say the evidence
is undeniable.
It's undeniable.
I think Joe Biden might already be dead, you know, but,
no, but
they're using.
The way you're saying is almost like if they landed in Central Park and it was just like undeniable, a million people are seeing it at one time,
right?
Kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, that's a really hard question to even answer. I don't know how people would react. I guess if it's like that, then. What do you think? Do you think people would panic? Do you think people would like start looting grocery stores? Like, what do you think people would do? I mean,
I think the evidence right now has been mind blowing, and the collective response has been,
that's what I'm trying to say,
which is weird.
What they call it cognitive dissonance. Is that what...
Yeah, just like. So,
and maybe that's why they're releasing it now, because they're just like, people don't even fucking
care. They don't even care.
Fuck.
Right?
They don't care about so many things.
And, you know, at the same time, too, is that, like, I do think that it could cause mass panic.
Well, I mean, right now,
it's like one or the other. Either they're not going to care at all. One thing I can guarantee is if I was making a prediction, they wouldn't handle it well. Like, either they wouldn't care or they would, like, the one thing I can tell you they won't do is handle it well.
We are so sheltered right now, though, in America and numbed. You know, I like social media too.
Me too. Oh yeah, I'm not gonna.
You know, TikTok, you pick and choose, right?
The internet, baby.
But I mean, you and I have been talking about over text, but Biden sending ballistic missiles into Russia.
Russia just shot a Mach 10 like intercontinental ballistic missile this morning.
Yeah.
And what are we doing? That's like. Cuban Missile Crisis times.
Yeah, this is worse than it's ever been.
Yeah.
Cold War. That is insane.
Like our missile systems in Turkey actually firing into Russia or using a proxy to fire into Russia. And, you know, this is tied to Israel because what's Israel all about, right? Mm-hmm. They're a proxy in the Middle East and it's not just.
Yeah, it's a Western colonial outpost.
I mean, right.
But engaging in like live streaming genocide,
yeah,
right?
Modern day colonialism,
yeah. That both parties are going to fund regardless, right? Anyway,
right.
Sorry,
no. but
fucked.
We are so desensitized to this. It's like we're gonna isolate ourselves behind this little bubble, which we tried before World War II. Obviously, that didn't work. I get that because I want America to isolate itself behind this wall and just kind of exist. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen. But we're so desensitized now to our entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Entertained and like to death.
Right.
We live in a Black Mirror episode. I really do.
100%.
Like it's more, that show is so accurate to like what the sort of state of the world
is. I almost think like with what they say, like with Rome and some of these empires when they got fat and decadent and they were just, I almost think technology and social media is accelerating the process, right? And we have more access to it that like China and TikTok in China, whatever it's called, is highly censored.
Mm-hmm. And very educational.
Right. But here, I mean, it's not. And it's seen as a major threat to these other social media and tech companies.
It's about overconsumption. Overconsumption of
everything. And a disposable economy where everything is overconsumed and disposable. And the other interesting thing, and I do have a question for you, and then we can close out.
Go for it, yeah.
Is the idea that the entire idea of social media is to is to promote a false vision of the world and then compare oneself to that false vision. So I had this perfect meal, or I, you know, this person has the perfect body, or the, you know, they wake up and they do a cold plunge and they work out.
You're right.
And they just post that shit like, you know, I just wake it up. No, you didn't. Somebody had to set the camera up to do it, right?
My family's in white and we're smiling in front of this perfect background, perfect house, and we never fucking sweat.
Yeah,
you know, like
a fight,
and, right?
And then people are comparing. Why is mine not like that? Why is my partner not like that? Why can't I get up at 4 a.m. and like sun my asshole and like whatever else?
Yeah, yeah.
Because no one does.
Yeah,
right. But anyway, I digress.
Right. I do that while I'm sleeping.
I that's what I do. I UV
light. I just stick a light right in there.
I do have one question for you. Speaking of Chewbacca, okay. Chewbacca. Does Chewbacca have two nipples or does he have dog nipples?
Oh, right.
Where do you sit on that? We don't know. We
don't know.
I mean,
it's utterly fascinating.
I go with the idea. Oh, God, I don't know.
Maybe like this. Out. Like maybe these aliens will tell.
It would be really nice if they were like cute, or they were like,
yeah,
like walking cats.
No, just a bunch of baby Yodas. Yes,
exactly.
You know, like that would be really cool.
I know.
Where does Han Solo get his intergalactic milk? Does he milk Chewbacca on the Millennium Falcon?
Luke Skywalker and...
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
My problem was that Luke got trained as a Jedi really quickly. You know, but they don't, they just very small clips of him training on with Obi-Wan on the Falcon. And it's like one trip.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Yoda's thing. He's like there for a while, but he's like, I gotta leave. You know, and then he faces Vader and he gets his hand chopped off in Cloud City. Mm-hmm. But I digress.
We digress a lot on this podcast.
Well, and I do like you know, like the whole idea of the end of Empire, of Return of the Jedi. Luke holds back from killing his own father, won't give in to rage, like, you know, and faces and understands that giving into rage is what the Emperor wants.
Mm.
And then in the next one,
yeah,
his nephew thinks about doing something evil and he's like, gotta die.
Kill you.
You gotta go.
That's fucking
oh, yeah, but
jump.
But the true
weird jump.
The true chosen one was Darth, right? Because
mm-hmm.
he throws the Emperor because Luke's act of love, or maybe it was them together,
mm-hmm.
but his act of love
eventually brings balance back to the Force.
Yeah, but then Darth Vader's act of love towards his son chucks.
Right. And then they
chucked him off. It like set everything, but then secretly the Emperor made Snoke and was like Snoke.
Snoke was like
alive the whole time. It was so fucking stupid.
Snoke was like
one more fucking complaint.
Speaking of this,
okay,
this is a good edit, I think.
Actually. So wait a minute, the Death Star blows up above Endor, but in Episode 9 they're on a different planet, and that's where the wreckage is at. Okay, it did say the moon of the moon of Endor.
Water planet.
Right, the water planet. Now, okay, there's some problematic things there. Sure, sure, sure. But the biggest one is, so Rey goes on an entire side quest to find an ancient Sith knife that has a pattern in it that will lead her to the thing, right?
Yeah.
How the fuck does an old knife have the pattern of the crashed Death Star from 30 years ago that she is perfectly standing on the shore looking at in order to find where to go into the Death Star to do the next part of the mission? It doesn't make one goddamn bit of sense.
It doesn't.
Bothered me so much in the theater, let alone that
the Emperor
returned somehow.
How can't Disney hire better writers? You would think Disney could just be like, let's get the best fucking writers on.
They were trying to fill it like with, they didn't go Lord of the Rings route,
mm-mm.
right? They were like, let's take these people that write good anime movies maybe,
yeah.
or animated films,
yeah,
and put them on, you know, this.
I think that it's reactionary.
Like they want to throw Easter eggs in there.
No, it's not even that. It's okay. So everybody loves the first Star Wars. Like they make the prequels. Like George Lucas makes the prequels. Well, the prequels are wildly different. Like they're a big departure. Everybody hates that. Not everybody.
The third one was like, okay.
The third one's all right.
Yeah, I think Revenge of the Sith was decent.
But like, okay. And so the overall vibe that Disney gets is, oh shit, people didn't like something new. So what do? As a reaction to that, let's remake A New Hope. But then. And so you hire what's his name?
J.J.
Abrams
Reed
to do
Johnson.
It. Right. First, J.J. Abrams. And he kind of has this idea of what he's going to do. Well, what is everybody's reaction to Episode 7? Oh, shit. Don't remake it. Don't reboot it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Let's Let's do it. Because it's like they're driving the wheel like this, like, oh my God, go right.
Oh, fuck. That's true. That's so funny.
And people don't like the second one. I thought that was probably one of the better ones.
Right. And, yeah, and
there's some bad shit in it. But yeah.
And then they realize, oh shit, we told it was going to be a trilogy. We have to somehow course correct.
Back to the Emperor.
Back to the
four episodes.
Because then they're reacting to like, wait a minute, they killed Snoke. What do we do now? And people are like, well, you kind of started these story beats. Are you going to do them? And so they have to then course correct into making, honest to God, one of the worst fucking movies with space horses I've ever seen.
Oh, is that the second one?
The third one.
Oh, there's space horses in the third one?
Yeah.
I thought it was when they go to the gambling planet in the second one.
You mean the side quest that has absolutely no
impact?
Right.
Nothing. And if they succeeded or failed, or if you just don't watch that part, it makes no difference.
But Luke on the island was kind of cool. I mean, and then where he... I thought at first where they had the the Imperial Walker.
AT-AT, All-Terrain Transport. Armored Transport.
But we call it Imperial Walker.
Yes. Imperial Walker.
Okay. Let's not digress and get off.
Actually.
When Luke is getting blasted at this, you're like, but first he walks through the, you know, and he's like, what's up? I'm here now. Everything's going to be fine.
Oh, there were some great scenes. There were some great scenes there. I mean, I've never seen a slow motion chase scene in space before. That was interesting, although it is very Battlestar Galactica and Ring.
But at least they got the Mandalorian right. I feel that the Mandalorian is pretty high.
Really, just the first two seasons. I haven't seen, like, I just think that they.
Oh, I thought
with that, there. I didn't see the third. I guess I just with that, it's like then it's all connected to the Boba Fett series that I didn't really like.
And the Boba Fett series was only good when.
Mandalorian.
When the Mandalorian
showed. Yeah. Boba Fett is great when he's mysterious. That's what
he only has like
great.
Two lines or like less than like. I mean, it's some minuscule amount.
But he goes out like a chump. But I actually like that he crawls his way out, you know, of the Sarlacc pit.